Welcome into the latest episode of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, May 23rd. This week, we look at the final part of our three-part series focused on colorectal cancer. Dr. Tanyos Bakay-Saab, a GI medical oncologist at the Mayo Clinic Cancer Center, concludes his conversation with Dr. Kristen Siamber, a GI medical oncologist and associate professor of medicine at Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center, and Dr. John Strickler, a GI medical oncologist, associate professor of medicine, and co-leader of the Molecular Tumor Board at Duke University School of Medicine. This conversation focuses on resistance to targeted therapies in metastatic colorectal cancer and the importance of really addressing it. The experts also discuss EGFR resistance, EGFR rechallenging after prior progression, and rising HER2 amplification, among a ton of other interesting ideas. Take a listen to this final piece of the conversation.
You know, one of the most frustrating elements for us, you know, in GI oncology overall and treating colon cancer is, you know, we have a lot of promising agents, a lot of targets that are emerging, and yet we continue to be challenged with many patients not responding, and then the majority that respond actually progress very quickly. So, you know, perhaps describe at a high level your thoughts about what are those drivers? How can we address these elements of resistance? And maybe, you know, the straightforward example of these agents that are in some in clinic and some in development that target the MAPK pathway.
Yeah, so I think when you consider resistance, you have to think about primary resistance, where really, you know, the targeted therapies don't work from the get-go. And clearly we need to understand what drives that. But secondary resistance, as you mentioned, is a frustrating thing. You know, you think about, you find something that works and you've hit the target and it's working, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, the patient stops responding, and you know, you check the molecular profile and you can see that some subclones have emerged, and you need to find something else quickly. So, you know, I think the BRAF story is an example of this, and a particularly challenging example, where patients with BRAF V600D mutant metastatic colorectal cancer, you know, we thought we'd learn from our melanoma colleagues. And once they developed BRAF inhibitors, we thought we were home free. We could just adapt that to our patients as well. And clearly it's not the same among all tumor types. So, you know, what we learned is that in colon cancer, the epidermal growth factor receptor is really key here. So you can target BRAF, but then you get upregulation of the EGFR. So then you need to target that as well. So as a result, that's what led to the Beacon study. And actually in that study, the triplet, the combination, so MEK, EGFR, and BRAF inhibition was combined, but also the combination, the doublet combination of EGFR and BRAF was looked at. And that does work for a lot of patients, but it's very transient. So again, you know, understanding, okay, once those pathways are shut down, what is the mechanism that overcomes that? And I think that's where a lot of the research is really delving into right now, to try to understand how do we get around that? How do we block other nodes in the pathway to try to make those responses more durable? And, you know, we'd love to see something like when IO works in MSI high tumors and see those flat curves. We'd love to see that in these situations, but it obviously is more of a challenge.
Hey, that's fascinating, because that also exemplifies why we need umbrella trials rather than basket trials, because biology is so different, you know, with different tumors of origin. I mean, you would have thought that just finding a BRAF and targeting with a RAF inhibitor and you'll get these melanoma-like responses, not even close, as you said. You know, the biology is different. And so those umbrella trials, you know, loaded with science, end up actually helping more. Not that those basket trials have no utility; they do have their utility, but it's quite limited in the context. And that you know, one of the key aspects of, you know, understanding the difference in biology is, you know, Dr. Strickler, John, the you know, this whole concept, emerging concept of EGFR resistance, and perspective also EGFR challenge. So EGFR challenge, of course, is a bit different. Although EGFR plus is somewhat not a so distant, you know, element for investigation. And you have a trial within the Colomate platform that's trying to validate the role of EGFR challenge. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, your work on and thoughts about EGFR challenge, as well as, you know, opening ways for more target strategies to reverse some of the resistance we see with EGFR inhibitors.
Yeah, so for many years now, there has been single institution studies, experiences looking at this question of rechallenging with anti-EGFR therapies after prior progression. Some institutions had shown pretty dramatic benefit from rechallenge, and other institutions showed no benefit. And it was a puzzle. Why are some patients benefiting and others aren't? With the use of the liquid biopsies in the clinic, we're learning more and more about what drives sensitivity to rechallenge. And some of this work came out of Italy, others out of the United States. And what we found is that at the time that a patient develops resistance to an anti-EGFR therapy, it's not just one mutation or one amplification that drives resistance. It's typically multiple different alterations occurring simultaneously in that patient at the time of radiographic progression, which creates a challenge because some of these alterations are druggable. If a patient develops a BRAF V600E mutation, it would stand to reason we would just give a BRAF strategy for that patient. But in fact, because the patient is developing so many resistance alterations at the same time, you can't just target one. And so it can be frustrating because you know, you can't target 11 different mechanisms of resistance simultaneously. So out of some interesting work both done in Italy and in the United States, we found that a lot of these resistance alterations will decay and decline over time, and they'll actually go away over 6 to 12 months. And that when you rechallenge that patient with anti-EGFR therapy, when those resistance alterations go away, we can actually see pretty substantial clinical benefit. And that's been shown already in Italy with the Cricket and Kronos trials, where they have shown benefit when you wait for those resistance alterations to go away in blood. So Colomate is critical to this trial that we've developed, which is that we will perform this liquid biopsy on patients, assess for the presence of these resistance alterations, and if they're gone, then we can rechallenge the patient with anti-EGFR therapy. Additionally, there's been no work done to date showing that rechallenging is better than standard of care therapy. So it's a randomized study where we're comparing the rechallenge against standard of care. This is potentially a practice-changing study for us when it reports out. And it's really only possible through that coordinated Colomate effort where we're all profiling patients the same way and using the same criteria to rechallenge patients.
Yeah, thank you for that. And you know, one of the mechanisms of resistance is, of course, HER2 amplification that arises. So Kristen, HER2 is an interesting target. You know, I remember there was a study in the early 2000s that stopped accruing because they thought that HER2 was too low to waste resources on in colon cancer. Although they saw some interesting responses, it was, I think it was trastuzumab plus irinotecan, and then it went silent. And then we see this reemerging. So, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, HER2 one as a resistant as a marker of resistance. for EGFR, but also, you know, what, how are we targeting HER2 and colon cancer, and what's coming down the pike?
Yeah, so HER2 is a very interesting target for the reasons that you mentioned. You know, as a de novo marker of resistance to anti-EGFR therapy, you know, we know that that will predict for a lack of response to anti-EGFR monotherapy, for instance. But, you know, we've learned a lot about the HER2 target. And again, looking, you know, at some, receiving some help from our colleagues in breast cancer and you know, other tumors, looking at this target in colorectal cancer. So, you know, the last few years have been really exciting to see new agents. And, you know, one of the trials actually through the Colmate platform, Mountaineer study, looking at tucatinib trastuzumab, we look forward to hearing the results from that study very soon. But, you know, we know that there are resistance mechanisms that pop up even once we're targeting that, once you're really shutting down that pathway, again, resistance mechanisms will evolve and emerge. So, you know, some things we start to see RAS mutations and others that will predict for that that resistance. And then, you know, you have to also think about you know, the difference between, so a patient that's HER2 amplified, whether they're RAS wild type or RAS mutant to begin with, we definitely see a differential in response there. So trying to understand the basis for that. And then there are newer agents, you know, with the DESTINY-CRC01 study, those patients were actually had received prior anti-HER2 therapy and then went on and still had a significant response rate to trastuzumab deruxtecan. So, you know, we need to understand that biology a little bit better so that we know we can more easily predict when patients will benefit and when they won't, so that we don't give them ineffective therapies. But it is a very interesting situation, and I think one that we'll learn a lot more about in the coming years.
How about, you know, the low expressing HER2 tumors and perhaps also the concomitant RAS? Anything on the horizon for those patients in terms of targeted strategies?
So one of the learnings that we've had from initial clinical trials that have looked at this target is that whether it be the antibody drug conjugate, trastuzumab deruxtecan, or the more selective targeted combination of trastuzumab pertuzumab, there's been very limited benefit shown thus far in patients with concomitant KRAS mutations, PIK3CA mutations, and in the case of DESTINY-CRC01, limited benefit in patients with low expressing tumors. So this does show a potential opportunity for us to look for ways to reach these patients with novel strategies. An upcoming clinical trial that we're excited about is combining cytotoxic chemotherapy TAS-102 with trastuzumab and tucatinib in molecularly selected patients with HER2-positive colon cancer. And this will be designed specifically for those patients with lower expressing tumors or patients who have concomitant resistance mutations, things like KRAS, NRAS, BRAF, PIK3CA. So this is once again an example of how we're making Colimate dynamic and provide very valuable molecular selection criteria for our patients.
That's exciting, and that continues, you know, the expansive work both of you are doing with Colimate, with you're pulling a lot of the good science back into clinical trials. You know, it's exciting to see colon cancer, you know, ultimately being treated as my good friend John Marshall says, as multiple diseases, not a single disease anymore. So exciting times ahead of us. And Frank, thank you for the two of you, for the wonderful work you do, and for the wonderful discussion. So thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this series on colorectal cancer from Cancer Network. Be sure to go to cancernetwork.com to catch up on all the episodes you missed and to read more about these topics published in the Journal Oncology. Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or just listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information and to stay up to date on all the news and notes in the world of oncology, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network.